I'm Laura Vinroot-Poole. For over 20 years, I've owned Capital, an internationally recognized specialty store in Charlotte, North Carolina. On this podcast, we unlock the stories of people's lives through the stories of what they wore. These aren't conversations about fashion. These are conversations about people.
Everybody wants to know her name.
Lisa Dargan is one of my dearest friends and biggest fashion inspirations. She's the person I've been able to create all of my sartorial fantasies with. Whether we're channeling Bianca Jagger, Debbie Harry, or Sue Ellen Ewing, she indulges every single character from head to toe. It goes without saying that everyone is always so delighted to see her walk into a room. I love Lisa's stories about her trademark Mary Janes, the talisman she treasures, and her message about modesty. Welcome to the podcast.
Well, thank you for having me to the podcast. I'm excited to be here.
I'm excited you're here. One of the things that I always thought was a lot of the reason I love the things that I love are because of my mother. And my mom was raised in Fort Lauderdale, Florida. And I had a closet full of ball gowns from her from the 1950s that I played in my whole life. And I think it really affected the way I love things and choose things and my understanding of beauty. Tell me where you were raised, where you're from, and how do you think it influences the way you dress?
Well, I'm from Savannah, Georgia. And my mother is from Sanford, North Carolina.
Oh.
And I hauled out her old prom dresses, debutante gowns, everything I could put my hands on and paraded around the house. Jumped on the beds in them, you know, just everything.
I think that may be why we're friends.
It might be. And they were so dramatic to me because they had all this tulle and all this, you know.
Itchy.
But kind of, you know, not bustier, but.
Yeah, bustier.
Kind of, yeah. And
that chiffon, that sort of itchy chiffon.
Everywhere. And they were kind of, they were all these pale colors. Do you remember?
Pale pink.
White, kind of a mint green.
My mom had a gorgeous strapless red one, and then a canary yellow.
Well, that's the prettiest thing in the world.
It was really pretty.
Beautiful. But I do think some of the, not just the beauty and the elegance of it, but the drama of it, too, was just so mesmerizing to me as a young girl. And that has never left.
No, for sure it hasn't. And what about people in Savannah? Like, how did they dress? What were the occasions? What were the things that you dressed up for?
Savannah is a very, very social city.
Yeah.
So there was lots of dressing up all the time. I watched my parents walk out the door at least 5 nights a week to a cocktail party or a dance or endless cocktail occasions.
And then were you left home with a TV dinner like I was?
Sitting on a beanbag chair.
Swanson's TV dinner.
And sometimes a pot pie. We graduated finally to French bread pizzas, Swanson's.
from Stouffer's.
Stouffer's, that's right. No, I'm getting my lasagna mixed up and watching, you know, a rerun of
Dukes of Hazzard.
Probably Dukes of Hazzard, but sometimes we were little. Disney used to come on at night.
Oh, yeah.
Which was so nice.
For us, Saturday nights were Love Boat and then Fantasy Island.
How much did you love those of those?
Oh, my God.
I used to dream
favorite.
I was on them, both shows.
Well, you sort of do live that way. You sort
of... I don't know.
What's your first fashion memory?
This goes pretty far back. My first fashion memory is having Mary Janes in almost every color for every occasion.
And were they patent?
Well, some were and some weren't. I had black patent for church.
Yes.
I had white for Easter.
Yes.
Red and blue that were not patent for school.
And you wear socks with them always?
Socks.
You wear the fold-down?
Fold-down socks. Sometimes they had a lace edge or eyelet edge and sometimes not.
Yeah.
But I wore them, it's really sort of embarrassing. I wore them a little bit too long. So I went straight from Mary Janes into fringed Indian moccasins. So I didn't have much in between, except for maybe a loafer or something. Yes, it was just...
I love it.
It was hard to give up.
Where did you buy those in Savannah? Or was there shopping in Savannah?
Yes. I mean, actually, the shoes... Well, the Mary Janes were bought at the Buster Brown shoe store on Haversham Road.
Right. I love the foot measurer.
The foot measurer. And there was also a little, not a merry-go-round, but this little scooter thing that went round and round and round that you could play on.
Yeah.
Did y'all have
that? I think we did have that.
It was just Buster Brown. Buster Brown. And remember the boxes with Buster Brown? Yeah.
Who was Buster Brown?
I don't know. And there was a dog involved.
There was a dog involved. Yeah. Absolutely, yeah. You just got new Mary Janes when you grew out of them? Or was that like a certain time of year you would shop or... I mean,
well, back to school shopping was giant.
So big.
And it was so hot down there.
I was going to say, I can't even imagine.
It's 1,000 degrees. and you will beat up some Mary Janes in the heat.
Yeah.
It's like you get tar on them or something. I don't know. Well, and my foot was growing too.
Right,
so,
sure.
So we would get our new little set.
Yes.
I did anyway, you know. And a pair of Keds sneakers.
Yeah.
Usually red.
Red. Oh, I love.
And then I went straight from those to Converse. I mean, I didn't have much in between.
It is literally Converse 60s and 70s.
Yes,
I mean, moccasins.
I was really in that stuff too long. It's like I couldn't get potty trained or something. You know, I couldn't get weaned off the Mary Janes.
The first time I met you was actually with your mom, Mandy, mm-hmm. who was really the most glamorous woman I think I've ever met. Describe her style and tell me how it influenced you.
Mother was a very tiny, tiny, petite woman, and I think she was greatly influenced by her mother, who wore gloves every single day of her life.
Okay, I love it.
To lunch.
And she was a beauty. I mean, your mother had those teeth, just like that. She had the most beautiful teeth and that smile.
Not one of us got them either. Not one child got those beautiful, beautiful, I mean, just dazzling set of teeth. She dressed very delicately, mm-hmm. always loved a sling back, mm-hmm. almost always. Well, she would wear trousers some. She loved a little delicate A-line skirt. Mm-hmm. She loved ruffled blouses, and she was very well put together. Even when she slid a little bit into the 70s...
pantsuits? No.
It wasn't a pantsuit. They were like workout. It was a velour warm-up suits. And they were like navy and maroon and tan.
Oh, I love it, yeah.
And that was back when she played tennis, so that's what she and all her friends played.
Yeah.
Tennis when it got, you know, quote, cold in Savannah. And then they would wear that straight to lunch. But, you know, then I look back on that and think, well, I'm doing some of that.
That's super
with
chic,
my
right?
Lucas Hue.
She was ahead of her time.
But she was a beautiful dresser, and I loved watching her get ready. I think most little girls love watching their mothers put on earrings and powder their noses. And
my mother has this like a tray full of perfume, and it would, you know, she would choose the perfume of the night.
The collection of perfume back then was quite amazing. Estee Lauder, Shalimar, Joy.
I hoped that she didn't choose Youth Dew, which was my all-time unfavorite from Estee Lauder. It smelled awful.
My mother loved Youth Dew. We had all that garbage stuff like
Cacharel.
That was not the garbage.
Love's Baby Soft.
Yours was way better. I had like what was called Skinny Dip or something like that.
Jean Nate.
Jean Nate. No, I really do think I almost remember the Skinny Dip song from the commercial.
What was it? Who made Skinny Dip?
Skinny Dip makes a girl feel pretty. Do you remember that?
No, was it?
Am I making that up?
No, I don't think you are. But was that like an after bath splash?
It was your cologne for fourth grade called Skinny Dip. Nice.
That's attractive. Yeah.
Really, really nice.
That's a good message.
Yeah, I mean, children everywhere should have that. Makes a girl feel pretty.
I love it. And where would your mom shop in Savannah? Was there shopping in Savannah? Would you go to Atlanta? Like what was?
Well, a little bit of both.
What was the pilgrimage?
But Jake Fine was this older, lovely gentleman, always beautifully dressed, just perfectly dressed. He owned a women's clothing store downtown named Fine's, F-I-N-E-S. And it was three stories, and it was back when, you know, the elevator, old-fashioned elevator operator was in there.
Oh,
and
my goodness.
And she had snacks just in case you couldn't make it from the second
like
to the first floor. Sometimes they would have finger sandwiches.
Oh, my gosh.
I just love getting the elevator because I was always going to be fed.
And did they have, were there different departments? Like the third floor was bridal.
Third floor was bridal, okay. As a matter of fact. And then there would be evening wear. Uh-huh. Oddly enough, you would think the lingerie would sort of be up there with bridal.
Yeah.
But it wasn't. It was on the first floor, kind of tucked way in the back as if nobody should see it.
Uh-huh.
But and then on the first floor, there was very casual clothing, hosiery, slips, you know, things like that, accessories, handbags. And it was a wonderful store, and even though it was three stories, it was not overwhelmingly big at all.
Would they deliver your packages?
Yes. I mean, and much like you do today, yeah. Which not many people do anymore.
Yeah.
You never had to take a package to the car unless you just wanted to.
Right.
They would have them sent.
And I'm sure they had a whole alterations team. And
all of it.
Yeah.
They did. And it was just and the people that worked there forever.
Yeah.
I mean, it was the same. When I would go there with my mother as a little girl, it was mostly the same staff that was there when mother brought me in for my wedding gown when I was in my 20s.
My gosh. And you got your wedding gown there?
I did.
Oh,
I did.
Love that. And then you would go to Atlanta. How far away is Atlanta from
Atlanta was our Atlanta is about 4 hours from Savannah, but we would fly because Delta it was literally $20
and probably 20 minutes.
Yes, and like 30 minutes in the air at the most. And mother was afraid of flying, but she hated driving even more, so so she would just hold on and take a Valium.
And so would you go would you go for the day or would you go and spend the night? Like, what was that? And it would just be you and your mom or your sister and all of y'all, or how would
it was just mother and me for a while until, you know, my younger sister was old enough. And we never went with friends, her friends. We just went with each other, and we would stay with my parents' best friends, Bill and Mary Dell Van Landingham.
Oh.
And we would stay with them and have dinner.
Would you go to the drive-in club for dinner and then?
No, we actually, because if you can believe this, there was a restaurant called The Peasant Uptown that we loved.
I love it. And what would you get?
I can't. Well, they did have this upside-down dessert that I just was just tickled me to death. It was chocolate crumb. It was served in a flower pot, in a terracotta pot. And it kind of had whatever grass on the, you know, whatever edible thing. And you got to the bottom and it was crushed up chocolate, which was the potting soil.
Oh, my gosh.
It was delicious.
Yum.
But
I love that.
We were probably not fit enough to go to the driving club, I'm sure, after a day of hitting it hard.
But you go to Neiman Marcus and where would you go?
We would go to Neiman Marcus, Saks. We kind of hit the big ones because there wasn't a lot of boutique shopping back then.
No, if any.
You know, Bob Ellis was another destination in Charleston.
My gosh. Talk about a pilgrimage.
And
the shoe pilgrimage of your life.
But I don't know that they were there back then. I don't remember.
No, I don't think they were.
That they were there. I think Jeffrey just went. Maybe I might be wrong about this.
No, I think
feel like Jeffrey went on his own.
Yeah. Later
from New York, but Bob Ellis was that was the best shoe shopping in the Southeast.
Absolutely. And my grandmother was like a AAA or something, you know, she was super super narrow, and
they would have those.
That's how they started, actually. They were a specialized shoe store. For some reason, women in the South have really small feet, more than other places in the country, and I think that really is why they started.
I can see that. My mother had tiny feet.
Yeah, my mom too, size 5.
She was a 5.
Yeah. And you know, Franny, our friend Franny's a 4.
Wow. That is just a little tiny thing.
A tiny. And aww. I mean, and you don't even see in market. I don't think a lot of times
they don't even sell those?
Them. Yeah.
People are now like tens.
Actually, it's true. Shoes are getting bigger. People's feet are getting bigger.
Are just bigger in general. Taller, bigger boned.
Yeah. People didn't really exercise then, did they?
Yeah, they smoked themselves.
You ever see your mom exercise one time?
Well, she played tennis.
Okay, but smoked.
But once tennis was over, she was like the first one that bought that gigantic Prince racket, you know, that was as big as she was. And that made her game a lot better because she could hardly miss
the
ball.
She looked really chic.
She thought she did. But she kind of did. But but Bob Ellis, do you remember that when you would sit down? And those lovely gentlemen talk about people staying around for a long time.
Forever. And the best.
And that was when Mr. Kolinsky was in there.
He's fabulous.
And you would say, I need a pair of, I don't know, black slingbacks. Uh-huh. And they would come out with you couldn't even see their heads. They would come out with basically a serving tray of 20 pairs of shoes. Oh. And they were just wizards at you. Yeah. Went in there for one thing, and yep. you left with the biggest smile on your face.
Well, and you didn't 10 leave. Pairs of shoes. I was going to say, you did not leave without at least 5 pairs of shoes.
No, you didn't.
Oh, God.
You didn't, and we would always think of a way how to hide it from Daddy, and, you know, all of the hiding, strategic hiding. Oh, they would stay in the garage for a while.
I had a client who would buy things and then have us take them down to the dry cleaner, and so she would not have to bring them home in bags, and her husband would even pick up the dry cleaning and not know that she had new things.
Oh, that's hilarious.
Isn't that great?
That is brilliant.
It was really smart.
Dang, I wish I would have thought of that. I might have stayed married longer the first time.
Do you have any fashion rules that you abide by?
I used to have so many.
You're a rule breaker as a person.
I don't actually. This is an obvious one. And I just think you don't show too much skin.
No.
That is an obvious that every woman should have. It's just not attractive.
Well, my grandmother always said, even on a 20-year-old, knees and elbows are not attractive.
No.
They're not.
No, and these lovely young girls these days are wearing things that are just cut down to their waist. And,
yeah.
And a snow.
I like a little mystery myself. And I think
agree.
That
I think
not,
most men do, too.
I do, too. I don't think you need to share everything with the world.
I don't. And, you know, I'm old-fashioned in some ways, and in many ways I'm not. But that's one of them.
Yeah.
One of the ways which I am quite old-fashioned. And I think the clothes are prettier.
Yeah.
When there's more of them. And
I agree. Do you have any jewelry that has exceptional meaning to you, and do you wear it?
I do. One is my mother's eternity band, uh-huh. which I wear almost every day.
And it fits you?
It was too big for her, so it fits me. So
she
lucky
was
me.
Mini and smoked a million cigarettes a day.
I know. She was just my dream figure. I wear that a lot. And then
is it engraved with anything? Or
no, because it has the diamonds go all the way around.
Yeah, got it.
And then after she died, well, I have most of her jewelry,
right.
So all of that is meaningful to
yeah.
me. And I have mother and daddy's. I have the wedding band that he gave her and, uh-huh. you know, sentimental pieces like that. But one thing that I love that my sister and I both have, we have kind of twin lockets that after mother died, we had her initials engraved on the front. Elizabeth Bruns here in town did it.
Uh-huh.
And her initials engraved on the front and then on the back, you know, the dates of her life. And then...
Aww.
We had two pictures of her on the inside,
I
treasure that so much. And I wear it a lot.
And jewelry is so powerful. I mean, don't you think?
Uh-huh.
I really, they feel like talismans, real talismans to me. And I always have found that I don't necessarily have to love the clothing designer that I'm wearing as a person. I mean, I've met most of them, I guess, that we carry. I don't have to love them. But the jeweler, I have to love the jewelry designer.
I completely agree.
Because it's on your skin, and it's, you know, you're feeling.
It's almost, very meaningful.
Yeah.
The piece is meaningful in and of itself because it's so unique to you. But
and touching
you carry
your skin.
A little bit and touching your skin, and you sleep in it, sometimes bathe in it or whatever. And it's with you in your most private, mm-hmm. intimate moments, unlike clothes, really, because clothes are more public. Oh, sorry. I want to go back one. Another piece of jewelry, which just means the world to me, is the piece by Irene Neuwirth with my puppy, Lulu. I've got Gym Palace.
Explain about Irene's little.
We had 3 Jack Russells, and when my favorite one, sorry, they were all my favorites, but this is my very favorite. Lulu died. My husband and Laura and my 3 girls kind of just, I think y'all just powwowed together and contacted Irene because Irene had this lovely gentleman. Was he in California?
Yeah. Well,
but
he's like 1 million years old.
Yeah, I mean, in his 90s.
Yeah.
And what is that method called
it's like a reverse miniature painting.
Yes.
And a picture of Lulu.
Yes, and it is a reverse miniature painting of Lulu, portrait of Lulu, and it is surrounded by turquoise.
Yeah.
And a little thing of diamonds.
Yeah.
And it's on a long chain. And it's about the size of a quarter, maybe a little bigger.
Uh-huh.
And I really do wear that every day.
Yeah. Your baby.
I know. It's great.
Is there a moment that you remember feeling your most beautiful? And what were you wearing?
Well, it's usually when I'm wearing something that involves a cape. It really does give you some kind of power.
It does.
I mean, you're just, I'm so confident in a cape and I can't explain it.
There is a reason.
Do you know what I mean?
Yes, I do. And there's a reason that Batman and Superman and Wonder Woman wear them.
Even when you can't fly in one, you just, I don't know. They're fun to hold and swish around and I love a cape.
And they're sort of like wearing a baby, they're sort of comforting to have like a blanket around you.
Very comforting. Yeah. And talk about covered and you just feel... I don't know. There's something. You just feel so confident in one.
And tell me what you have one that you love.
Oh, well, I have several. And they are kind of all different flavors. Probably my recent favorite is the Oscar pink silk taffeta ruffled thing.
That is beautiful. So gorgeous.
And it's kind of big.
Yeah.
And
it makes paper taffeta, hot pink.
It makes a lot of noise, which I like when you move. The other one that I love goes with the Dolce & Gabbana creature's dress.
Unbelievable.
It's red and has giant owls and squirrels and forest creatures on it. And that's one of my very favorites.
It's so beautiful in the way it sort of floats in the breeze. And it's spectacular. Talking about entertaining, you've worn those capes entertaining. And I've seen your style evolve over the years, actually through your entertaining. What's your favorite party that you've ever hosted, and what did you wear?
Every party's my favorite.
You do it really well.
Well, that is most generous. Thank you. I have to say one of my very favorite parties is the one where we celebrated your 10th anniversary of the store that was at our house. And we had I tried to create Diana Vreeland's Garden in Hell in a red tent. And I think I had, did I have on Giambattista Valli?
I think it was
that black ruffled.
Giambattista,
black ruffled skirt and black blouse and that red big wide belt.
That was so gorgeous.
And you had on that gorgeous white, yummy
Redarte.
Skirt. Yeah, Redarte.
Oh, no, it was Lanvin.
Oh, that's right.
Lanvin tiered skirt.
Oh, it was
top.
Beautiful.
Oh, yeah. That was very beautiful. That was the most incredible party.
Oh, well, it was a great celebration of a great person in her.
Well, the
10 years.
Thank you. But the most incredible party I went to of yours was actually your wedding. Can you talk about that and describe what you wore and why you chose it?
Well, you brought, I think it was Giambattista Valli Couture number 7. Was that the group
came?
To the Duke Mansion. No, we've never had anything like that in Charlotte before, and I don't know that they've done.
No, that it was his first couture show outside of Paris.
And that was really quite something.
Yeah.
This blue feather, tremendous thing, just waltzed past me, and that was it.
Yeah.
I mean, that was it.
Oh.
I think that's why I decided to get married.
So it was a full...
So I had somewhere to wear it.
Full ball skirt.
Massive.
Made of... Feathers.
Ostrich feathers.
Pale blue, pale blue ostrich feathers.
And it was paired with, was it a taffeta, silk taffeta?
Yep.
Almost pajama top.
Yep. Like a piped pajama top.
And it was a bodysuit.
Yeah.
Remember how
Which
it
made
was.
It a little bit complicated getting on and off and going to the bathroom.
I mean, I just swooned when I saw it.
The most incredible thing, too, was it was your second wedding dress of the day.
True. I started out, we had cocktails before the wedding. There's none of this, you can't see the bride thing.
And it was on a plantation.
Yeah, it was on Delta Plantation, which is near, very close to Savannah, Georgia. I think it's actually located in Hardeeville, South Carolina. It's over the river, the Savannah River. And some great friends who I've known most of my life, John Kay and his wife Billings, let us have the wedding there. Uh-huh. And it was just really the perfect spot for this, and we got married. It was in February and it was unseasonably cold.
Yeah,
but we still had it outside. The weather was wonderful. You helped me give beautiful shawls to everybody.
Oh, yeah, shawls. Well, and then you wore UGG boots underneath.
Heck yeah, I wore UGG
shearling boots.
No, they were like those. No, they're not UGG. They're that other brand.
Oh, well, no,
like
they're Moo. They're Moo.
Yes.
Yeah,
black fur snow boots. Under which I would highly advise that for any bride to do, because I felt so sturdy because I was walking over old brick.
Yeah.
And it was, I'm sure you thought of it, it was the perfect solution to, you know, not having to lose your balance.
I've never seen a more beautiful bride in the history of the world. Oh, it was so incredible.
That was so sweet. Well, it was sad taking that dress, that skirt off. I didn't want to do it.
If somebody were to describe your style, what would you want them to say about you?
Oh, gosh. I've never thought about that. I hope they would say that I always show up dressed and appropriate and that I care.
Yeah. And I think that's a Southern thing.
That, you know, where I'm going matters.
Yeah.
It's important to me.
It's polite to the hostess, I think, that you show up.
I agree. That you feel that where you're going is important, and it is.
Yeah.
I mean, if anybody's entertaining for you, that's important. Church is important.
Yeah.
And appointments aren't. Everything's important.
Yeah.
Now, sometimes I fail. I'll stay in workout clothes all day. I try not to do that as much as I used to.
You won't show up to a party like that.
No. I don't know. I wish somebody might say that. Creative maybe a little bit without being a lunatic.
Everybody delights in what you wear. You know,
oh,
I think it's
gosh.
The thing that everybody's so excited for you to come to an event because they want to see what you're wearing.
Well, thanks to you.
You are the most fun person to dress because you get into it. I mean, you really take on the whole character. And I always, I think you and I think the same way about this too, that I'm always like, I want to do a combination of Olivia Newton-John in Grease when she was watching Danny about to race, plus Jerry Hall when she was with Brian Ferry, plus Debbie Harry in the 80s.
And I totally get that.
Yeah.
I know exactly the look you're going for.
Right.
That's the best.
I think you love going into character like that. I think you enjoy that whole process. And
oh, gosh, yes.
Yeah.
And it's not really a fantasy thing. It's more of I just really liked their look.
Yeah. Oh, gosh.
And
I
want pieces of it.
Yeah.
In one outfit.
Yes. When do you feel most like yourself, and what is it that you're wearing when you feel like that? Your velour jumpsuit of your mom.
If I could get in that thing. It sort of depends. I mean, when I dress for an occasion, I really do feel like myself. That's some of the happiest times and happiest memories for me.
Yeah.
But also, I do like some weekend slouching clothes and oversized sweaters and nice Elder Statesman socks.
Oh, yeah.
To cuddle up in. And
and blankets.
And an Elder Statesman blanket would be quite nice. So, I mean, I can be myself in that just as easily. But those are probably two of my happiest states.
Does your shoe have to be specific? Like, we were talking the other day about, we had a shoe designer here who was also a podiatrist, and she was saying how she remembered before she made her own shoes that there was this time limit, you know, that it was 1 hour, 15 minutes, and all of a sudden she was totally finished because her feet hurt.
Remember when we wore our heels so high?
Oh, my
remember
God.
Remember those gigantic Nicholas Kirkwood shoes? Massive things. And
How did we do that?
I couldn't do it for long. I mean, I had about 2 hours in those, and then I was paralyzed.
Well, you were also the person that always told me that these are sitting down shoes.
They are sitting down shoes. I mean, sometimes you just have those.
These are walking to the party, then sit down for the rest of the time.
Forever, because your feet go numb, and then you're going to fall off of them.
Yeah.
And it's just a horror for everybody. But
I do think that is one of the most unattractive things. I guess it's also about being comfortable. I think you're most beautiful when you're most comfortable. And that doesn't have to mean wearing Birkenstocks and a sweatsuit.
No, just shoes that you, high or not, that you like and feel good in.
But if you can't walk, it doesn't look. Yeah.
Well, and you walk different. When your shoes hurt, you walk differently and you look clumsy.
Yeah.
And you are clumsy because you're off balance and your feet hurt. And I do remember taking my shoes off and throwing them across the lawn one time. And it was those Nicholas Kirkwood shoes. I think I threw them in Pam's pool or something. I don't know. But, you know.
You had some doozies.
I did.
You had some made. I mean, we used to wear these like in the daytime.
What were we doing?
I don't know.
Did we look like hookers?
But we're both. We're 5'5", 5'6". Like, I think we probably just.
And we wanted to be taller.
Wanted to be taller.
Well, I still do.
Yeah.
The only rule that I have about shoes is with airplane travel.
Uh-huh.
It has to be a closed toe.
Oh, God, yes.
I don't. I have friends who will just wear cute little sandals whatever. And I'm just thinking that,
horrifying. I do not understand that at all.
I don't either. And I mean, that's a rule.
That is disgusting.
That is horrible. I know.
So North Carolina's state motto is esse quam videre, which means to be rather than to seem. What does that mean to you?
To be who you are instead of who you're not.
Yeah.
And to seem like something else.
But isn't it funny how long it sometimes takes you to get to that point? I mean, yeah, as a young person, to find who that is. And
well, I think when you're young, you have aspirations for yourself and what you want to be.
Yeah.
And I think sometimes when you decide you want to be something, then you turn into that.
Yeah.
Good or bad.
Clothes, for me, all during adolescence and maybe always, were sort of a way to try that stuff on, you know, mm-hmm. to sort of, this year I'm going to be New England deadhead. And I think even now, like, you're able to try on those personalities every day. Clothes really allow you to do that.
Well, I think it is beneficial for everyone to have a closet full of different personalities.
Yeah.
Because we don't feel the same way every day.
No.
You know, sometimes you just need to put on a tent and you're really happy about that.
Some days you're ready to be noticed more, and some days you're not.
Yes, right? I mean, I think so. And some days you feel like, okay, I got to get out of these workout clothes and put on something attractive. And that makes you feel better.
Yeah.
You know, that you don't feel so sloppy just all the time.
It's amazing how powerful clothes are to your psyche and the way they make you feel, for me.
They can change a personality in a second.
Yeah.
In a flat second.
And even just a color.
Oh, yeah.
A fabric.
I agree.
We always ask this when we have new employees, is my, you know, when they introduce themselves to the team. And
oh, gosh.
No.
I hope I don't fail.
You're not going to fail. It's a hard question. What did you wear to prom?
That is not hard. I wore a strapless turquoise. It actually, I didn't know this at the time, but it reminds me of that blue Balenciaga, you know, that I have. It kind of gathers around the bust and has that draping that hangs down.
Yes.
I wore that.
What is it? Moire, silk moire, or what was the fabric?
The one back.
Your prom.
It was highly flammable, is what it was.
Where did
it
you
was
get it?
Not silk
did you get
moire.
It at Fines?
No. I probably got it at the mall somewhere. I did not
579?
Get it at Fines. Probably 579.
And was it short?
No, it was long.
Okay.
And then I had another dress, a prom dress that I loved, and it was lavender. Kind of a dark lavender,
mm-hmm.
and it had it crossed kind of across your chest, and it had all these pleats in it,
uh-huh.
and it just hung really beautifully. And that was probably another 579 special.
And shoes? What kind of shoes?
Oh, we wore one time I wore my mother's beautiful shoes, and we were talking earlier that we think they might be Rangoni slingbacks.
Yeah, right.
But another time, I decided, much to my mother's dismay, that I was going to wear my new candies.
Oh, I totally forgot that.
And it was when Candy had come out with the skinny heel.
Oh,
do you remember those?
Yes, I do.
And the toe was thin.
Yes.
And we wore stockings back then, even under long dresses. And
slip and slide it?
Oh, my. It was a nightmare. I was holding onto my boyfriend's arm for dear life because I was about to spin off of my plastic heel candies.
Candies. What color were they?
White.
White candies.
What else?
And then I've always loved the story about you being homecoming queen. Will you tell me that outfit?
Oh, gosh. What was my mother's?
Okay.
And it was, it might have been Diane von Furstenberg, black. It was not a wrap dress. It was a V-neck, and it tied, but it had some pleating.
Uh-huh. So it was like a jersey?
Yeah, okay. I think it was a jersey.
Uh-huh.
And it had some pleating just on one side that's sort of like an accordion. It just kind of opened up. And then I had on a blazer, this kind of tiny, tiny, tiny houndstooth.
Oh, pretty.
Blazer, and then those shoes that were
the prettiest
things I'd ever seen in my life.
And nude, like suntan hose?
I think I had on black sheer
stockings. Yeah.
We always wore stockings.
And hair, jewelry.
Had lots of hair.
You did have lots of hair.
It really, I still have the same style
girl
that it is now. Oh, I'm stuck in 1979. And I don't remember my my jewelry. I probably wore the opal ring that my parents gave me for my 16th birthday.
Is this your birthstone?
Uh-huh.
And out of beads?
Oh, I might not have had out of beads on that night.
You might have.
No, I probably did. I probably did because I had them in every size, shape. They're, I don't know what all that, the Adabead bonanza was.
But that was insane.
We love them. And yeah. I remember going to college and I was so envious of these older girls who had the giant ones.
Like all the way around.
All almost. The way around. I couldn't yeah. believe it. I thought, oh. Wow, that's the most sophisticated thing I've ever seen. but we love those things so much. And I don't even have mine anymore. I wish I did.
I wish I had mine too. I may have them at my mom's
where
house.
Where are they?
Yeah, where did they go?
I don't know.
The price of gold has gone up so much.
I know. We need those things, man.
Well, I've loved having you.
Oh, I've loved being here, and I could talk forever with you.
I could, too. Thank you.
Thank you.
What We Wore is produced by Capital and Balto Creative Media. The original song, Someone So Enchanting, was composed and performed by Britt Drozda. What We Wore is a member of the Queen City Podcast Network, powered by Ortho Carolina. Find out more at queencitypodcastnetwork.com.